I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, we can easily do things without realizing the significance of what we're doing. And that might happen with many different things that we might do. Summer's coming up here, and we are going to have the 4th of July. And what do we do on the 4th of July in our country? We shoot off fireworks. And, hey, that's great. Why do we do that? Well, something happened on July 4th. What was it? That marks the beginning of our country. The day that we were free, and we have to remember the significance of that, and it's easy to forget those things. And the same is true with some of the things in the church, things that God has given to us, the Lord's Supper. And I'd like just to take some time tonight just to remind us of the significance of what we do here. This is what we call one of the ordinances of the church. And over the past several months, we've looked at some of the scriptures teaching on the church. And along with that teaching is this subject of the ordinances. And the ordinances are the practices that God has ordained that the church continue to practice, given to the apostles, continue to be practiced in the early church, and even taught in the epistles that we should continue to practice it. And we see that these instructions were given to not just individual Christians, but instructions were given to here the church at Corinth. And over again in these chapters, it talks about when the believers come together, when ye come together. Here's what you should do. And this is one of the things that believers should do when they come together. Observe the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And so I want to point out just some reminders that we see here in the Scripture of why we do this. It's not just another meal. It is something significant. And I think that we see two things about this ordinance here tonight that is important for us to remember, that are important for us to remember. I'm calling this the church's needed reminder, the Lord's Supper. It's a reminder of two things, two important things. The first thing is it's a reminder of the important work of Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of the important work of Jesus Christ. And obviously, that work is something that took place in the past. And as we remember Jesus Christ and His work, our minds should think back to the past. There's also something about this practice that should cause us to look forward to the future as well. And there's something about this ordinance that should cause us to look to the present as in addition. So it helps us remember the important work of Jesus Christ in the past. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see Paul, the apostle, giving the instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, and he repeats the instructions that were given to him when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And we see that beginning in verse 23, Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." And so we see that we need to take that past look as we come to the Lord's table of the past work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us this specifically for remembering. This do in remembrance of me. You know, we don't often think of it, but it's really easy to forget things. And maybe you experience that more as you get older, I don't know. But, you know, think about things that you have committed to memory in the past. Maybe they're Bible verses, or maybe they're, you know, a short story or something that you memorized when you were younger. And what happens as you get older? Well, you lose it. And how would you have kept it if you if you wanted to? The way that you would keep what you committed to memory is by repeating it over and over again. And that's the same with the Lord's Supper. The Lord has given us this practice, this ordinance, to repeat again and again. It should be frequent, though we don't have any specific commands about how frequent. It says, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. It should be frequent, but it's something that's designed to help us remember. It's something that Jesus instituted himself. And he says that we are to take this cup and this bread to remember him. That's the primary significance here, remembering Christ's work. And then you think about when Christ instituted this practice. He brought the disciples there to the upper room, and you remember that that meal that they were eating together was not just a regular meal. It was the Passover meal. It was a Passover celebration. And what was the significance of the Passover? It was also a meal to remember something by. It was to remember the deliverance that God had given to Israel, delivering them from Egypt. And then he gave them that meal to help them to remember the deliverance that God gave to the Israelites. And then Christ takes that same time there and takes those two elements, the bread and the cup, and he institutes this new practice, also designed to remember the work of Christ. And it's designed to help us remember exactly how Christ accomplished his work with his body being crucified, being broken, just as the bread is broken, and with his blood being shed to institute this new testament, this new covenant that God had promised, which would provide blessings, the Holy Spirit, the assurance of forgiveness of sins. And he did that through the work of Christ. And so we look to the past, what Jesus has done, and we remember the work of Christ through this ordinance. And then along with that past look, we give thanks for the work of Christ. And this is a part of the institution of the Lord's Supper. It says in verse 24 here, 1 Corinthians 11, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. And we compare that to other gospel accounts. We see words about words that describe the blessing of Christ over these elements, which also has to do with giving thanks. And so we look back to the thanks that Jesus gave. And we see back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, our responsibility to give thanks as well. Look back in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. There's another description of the Lord's table in that chapter. And Paul refers to the elements here, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? But there's the idea of the fact that when we take the cup, we bless it. And that doesn't mean that we impart anything to it that it didn't have, but it's a term that means to give thanks, to ask that God would be honored in the receiving of that. And so giving thanks is something that we look back to the work of Christ. We remember it. and we give thanks for it. And then as we think about the work of Christ, there is a future look as well in this supper, in this ordinance. And we see that in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So there is a proclaiming of the work of Christ in this ordinance. And we see that in the word for show here. The word show is a word that is actually translated preach in another passage, 1 Corinthians 9:14. And so when we come to this that the Lord has given to us, we need to see it as something that it preaches. It proclaims about Jesus Christ. It's like an object lesson. And you think of object lessons as just for kids, but God has given us an object lesson that preaches something about what Christ has done. And you might compare it to signs that we see along the road. You know, you're driving along and all of a sudden you see a sign that has two white bars that are crisscrossed, and you know that something's coming up, and that is a train, train track. And it may not say any, there may not even be any words in that sign, but it's a proclamation. It preaches something to you. It tells you something that's coming up here. Or you might see a sign that has little people on it, and it tells you, okay, there's a school that's coming up here. It's something that proclaims something. And the Bible tells us here that the Lord's Supper does that. It proclaims the work of Christ in these elements. And does so because the Scripture says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, you do proclaim the Lord's death. And then as we do that in the future, there's anticipation here. Till he come, it says. Till he come. There's a forward look as we take the Lord's Supper. It's not just all about the past look. It is certainly about that. It's about proclaiming that, but it's about doing that until he come. He's coming again someday, and as we come to the Lord's table, we need to be remembering that someday, each time that we do it, somehow. And I understand that in the Passover celebration, Jews will end that feast with the anticipation next year in Jerusalem. That's where we want to be, in Jerusalem. And same is true with us. You know, we come to this table, this dinner, and we need to look forward, maybe next time in heaven with Christ. How much better that would be to commune with him in heaven. So it's a forward look. It's a look to the future. And then it is a look to the present. It's a look to the present. We see that another term that's used to describe the Lord's Supper is communion. And one way that that term is used is in reference to communion or participation with Christ. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul also speaks about the Lord's Supper here, he calls it communion. The cup of blessing, verse 16 of chapter 10, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And so there we see that in the Lord's Supper, in communion, one of the things that we have is communion with Christ. Now, one of the big questions is, how does that take place? And various churches over the centuries have tried to answer that question. And The Roman Catholic Church has its doctrine of transubstantiation, which says that the elements literally change into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. And in that way, we receive Christ literally, taking Him into us and commune with Him. But that's not how we need to understand communion with Christ. It's not actually in the physical substance that we commune with Christ. And when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," we can understand that to be a figure of speech because of other passages in the Bible in which Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the vine." And that doesn't necessarily mean that He literally is a physical door. He is comparing Himself to a door, a vine. And the same can be true with these elements. He takes up the bread and He says, "This is my body. This is symbolic of my body." And another thing we need to keep in mind is the New Testament teaching on the finality and completeness of Christ's sacrifice once for all. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And so when we consider that doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church and their teaching that Christ is offered again in the Mass and again sacrificed, literally, but that goes against the teaching of the Scripture that Christ was once offered, not again and again. He hath once suffered for sin. And so we commune with Christ, not physically, not by physically taking these elements. These are not literally Christ. But yet we do commune with Christ. And how do we do that? We do that recognizing the symbol that these represent, the symbolism that's there. And we commune with Christ by faith. Faith is how we commune with Christ. Faith is how we participate in His work. Faith is how we fellowship with Him. And as long as we recognize that these are symbols, in John chapter 6, Jesus takes that comparison of eating to be a picture of what that faith is. And He talks about, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." And we have to understand that as a figure of speech for faith. And as we come and we receive the Lord's Supper, it's sort of like a picture of faith, of personal faith, of personally taking these elements and receiving them into ourselves. That's how faith is. We have to personally come to Christ and receive Him into ourselves, taking a hold of Him, not literally, but symbolically, as it's presented here, in faith we commune with Christ. And we commune with Him, even in the present, in this ordinance. And so that's a present look as we come to the Lord's table. And we see the communion with Christ in the present. And then we also see the communion with others in the present. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, Paul goes on to say, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And there is a reminder here as we come to the Lord's Supper of the care that we should have for one another. And we'll get to that in just a moment here. But as we commune with Christ, there is a need for us to care for our relationship with Christ in the present. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul cautions the believers to take note of their relationship with Christ. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so we're reminded of the need to care for our relationship with Christ. There's a need for self-examination. There's a warning of the discipline of the Lord. If we do that, disregarding what the Lord has done. And Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10 that participation with idolatry is communion with the unseen realities behind the idols. Later in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 10, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And so there's a reminder here that we can't be doing service to both sides at the same time. We can't be serving Christ and be serving sin all the time without any confession of that sin and turning from it. Can't do both things at the same time. And so in communing with Christ in the present time, we have to care for our relationship by confessing our sin and turning from it, turning to the Lord. So we see when we come to the Lord's table a reminder of the important work of Jesus Christ, and that begins with looking to the past, looking to what Christ has done in the past, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then we even look to the future. We continue to proclaim that as we observe this ordinance, even until the Lord come. We look to that future coming of the Lord. And then there's a look to the present, in our present relationship, communing with Christ, caring for that relationship. But there's a second very important reminder in this ordinance. It's not only a reminder of the important work of Jesus Christ, it's a reminder of the important body of Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is the church. There's a tremendous reminder about the importance of the body. And communion represents the communion, the fellowship that we really do have as a church. 1 Corinthians 10:17 again. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that bread. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Lord's Supper is only for believers. Because this is what it is. Not only is it communion with the Lord, but it's communion with other Christians. And you can't do that unless you are a Christian. It doesn't mean anything at all. And so it's only meaningful for Christians, those who can express fellowship with one another. So it's communion with the body, the church. And then the very important thing we need to remember is it involves consideration of the body, the church. And this was exactly the problem that Paul had to deal with in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about what was going on there, and he rebukes them. In verse 17, he says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and partly I believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So what was going on there in the church at Corinth? In their attempt to observe the Lord's Supper, they were having some sort of feast, and in the midst of that, they were discriminating against other people in the church. People that didn't have as much as other people had. And they just go ahead and have their big feast and leave the other person out completely. And, you know, last week we had a fellowship for Nathan after the evening service. And now as I observed us, I didn't see any of this going on. I think everybody was fairly gracious, going through the line one by one. I didn't see anybody rushing to get all the cake and eating all that cake together. At least maybe that happened, I don't know. But, you know, I didn't see that. But, you know, we can come to the Lord's table with the same sort of things in our hearts that the Corinthians had, even though we don't practice it in the same way. We can come with the attitudes in our hearts that are discriminating against people in the church, people that we don't necessarily like, or people that in some way we have harmed. And we have to recognize that as we come to the Lord's table, those things need to be put aside. And there's a very serious warning about that. That's the background of the warning here. That's the error that Paul was trying to correct. And for those that participate in the Lord's Supper and totally disregard the body of Christ, the church, and people in that body, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous to do that. It's dangerous because the Lord is the one who disciplines. You know, as a pastor, I have no idea if that's taking place. But God does. God does. And he says here, you know, if we come to the Lord's table with these attitudes against other people in this assembly, it's a very dangerous thing. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God disciplines with sickness in that case sometimes. Now, we don't know that that's the reason why, but we know that God can do that. God can discipline to the point of physical death. And I don't think it's talking here about eternal punishment, but the discipline of the Lord, even resulting in physical death. That's not something that any pastor or elder can take part of. That's something that the Lord does. The Lord does that. And so it's a very serious thing when we come to the Lord's table and disregard the Lord's body, the church, the people in that body. So it's a reminder of the work of Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of the body of Jesus Christ, the importance of the body, the church. And the Lord's table is also a blessing. You know, it's a blessing to be able to come and to participate, to be obedient to the Lord in observing the table. And Christ encourages us to do this. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." He wants us to come, remember his work, look forward to his coming, and be considerate of the body and appreciate each member of the body that's here, and not be discriminating against one or the other, but everyone here. And it's a blessing to do that. It's a reminder that Christ indeed loves us, and he wants us to remember him, and he wants us to come to the table. He wants us to turn from sin in our lives so that we're not trying to serve Christ and serve sin without any repentance. He wants us to turn away from that, turn away from sin and observe the Lord's table and thank the Lord for his work. And it's only a blessing if we truly are coming to the Lord in faith. These elements don't save anybody. They're only symbols. The only thing that can save a person is faith. Nothing else. And these elements are only a blessing to us if we have that faith. we have that faith in the Christ that they represent to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as we observe the Lord's table on a regular basis to do it recognizing the work of Christ, the past work of Christ, the future coming of Christ, and our present relationship with Him. And we pray that we would each tonight be appreciating the body of Christ, those in the body of Christ. And we pray that you would help us to do this tonight in faith in Christ, believing that He was the perfect substitute for us on the cross, and that His shed blood offers us the forgiveness of sins. How we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and